Hey everybody, Paul Brooks here. Thanks for tuning in to B-Movie Mania. Real quick before we start this episode, I just want to let everybody know that I'm okay. If you happen to listen to the teaser episode for Zombie Decadence, you might have heard that I got myself into a little bit of a bind, but I'm all right. Turns out it was a huge misunderstanding. I had completely forgotten that I put a bunch of Arby's coupons in my back pocket, and a lot of the other customers saw this, and when I went to go to the bathroom, they were trying to just get some of the coupons from me. And so after I figured out what was going on, everybody got a free roast beef sandwich. We had a laugh about it. I'm okay. So I just wanted to let you know that, so you weren't concerned about my safety. That's it. Hope you enjoy this episode of B-Movie Mania. Get ready for some zombie decadence. Which loosely translated into English means, we watched Zombie Decadence, and it's time to strip it down tonight on
B-Movie Mania!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
Good evening, B-Movie Maniacs, and welcome once again to another episode of B-Movie Mania, the podcast where we watch B-movies, and then we get together and we discuss them. We watched a film called Zombie Decadence, and it was... Well, can that just be it? No?
Hey, what would Hambo do in a situation like this?
Joining me, as always, is Mr. Chris Hudson, who is a big Hambo fan.
Hello, Hambo.
Jason Hulls.
Hello.
And Mr. Mike Hayes.
Brains.
Yes, yes. I gotta say, guys, I'm a little surprised that we made it this far into the podcast. This is episode 8. I'm surprised that we made it this far without watching a zombie movie or even a horror movie. This is our first horror movie of the podcast.
It's the 8th stripper movie, though.
Yes.
Are you saying The Amazing Bulk wasn't a horror film?
Well, yeah, I guess it's really open to interpretation.
That's really weird. You're right, though. Like, I would have thought that we'd be really horror-heavy.
Well, the reason I brought that up is because I don't want to toot our own horns too much here, but I kind of feel like we happen to be experts on the zombie genre.
Sure.
Why, Paul? Whatever do you mean?
Well, what I mean, Chris, is that you happen to have starred in a zombie movie yourself handful of years ago, correct?
Oh, yes, where I played a librarian.
Jay, if I'm not mistaken, you maybe directed a zombie movie at some point.
Yeah, I did.
And Mike Hayes, I believe at some point you were also in a zombie movie, right?
Yeah, something along those lines.
And believe it or not, hold on 1 second. Believe it or not, I've also been in a zombie movie. And believe it or not, it's all the same movie. We all did a zombie movie together. So I'd like to think that we know a little something about what makes a good zombie movie and what makes it maybe not so great zombie movie.
I think it would be much more surprising if all four of us had worked on different zombie movies. The fact that we're friends and we've all worked on the same project isn't that big of a surprise.
Right. We talked about the movie being called Zombie Decadence, but there has been a lot of confusion over what the title of this movie actually is. The alternate title, or perhaps even the original title, was Zombies versus Strippers, right?
But that one turned out to be Taken, right?
What?
That one was already Taken, right?
Well, no. See, you're everyone is still confused.
No.
The movie we watched was called Zombie Decadence, but I believe the original title for it was Zombies versus Strippers, not to be confused with Zombie Strippers, which is a whole different movie.
What about Strippers versus Zombies?
That's also a movie. That came out in 2008. That was the alternate title for Zombies, 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 was Strippers versus Zombies.
Is there Strippers, Strippers, Strippers?
Well, that was the alternate title for Zombies, Zombies, Zombies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, another title is Porn Star Zombie.
No.
But weirdly, two words.
Nope. That's not one of the alternate titles.
No? I think Mike watched the wrong
movie. Did you watch the wrong movie?
The bit has come to a screeching halt.
What? Did I watch Porn Star Zombie?
Is that what you watched?
I did watch it.
Is that what you watched for this?
I mean, I also watched Zombie Decadence.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
Sorry. For the audience, if this gets cut in here, I've been kind of trolling these guys all day with the wrong movie.
Mike sometimes likes to do a bit.
Thanks, Mike. Keeping it fun.
If you guys haven't... This is interesting to bring it up now, because if you guys haven't watched Porn Star Zombie, it looks identical to Late Afternoon of the Living Dead.
Which was the movie that we all did together that we've been talking about.
Like, I had PTSD watching it.
Well, why did you watch that one?
Because I wanted to do the bit better, so I flipped through it a good bit so I can talk about it more.
Oh, well, that's some commitment.
And send my Hambo pictures.
Yes, we will get to Hambo, don't worry. Okay, why in the hell was this movie even called Zombie Decadence? Does anybody know?
Yes. Charles Band likes the word decadence.
Correct.
No, the correct answer is Charles Band has a crush on a stripper named Decadence.
Hmm.
Probably also true.
Also doesn't know what the word decadence means.
Although it's a very fitting description for Charles Band's lifestyle.
Yes, quite decadent.
He lives full moon over decadence.
Cut this that film out. Was... distributed at least and possibly made by Full Moon Pictures, which is
it was produced by Charles Band, right? I mean, unless they threw that on just to appease his evil masters.
And Full Moon Pictures used to be called what, Chris?
Wizard Entertainment.
Correct. And so they put this movie out, and they seem to do a weird thing. If you're on Hulu, which is how we watched this movie, they have a tendency to use the word decadence a lot. You got decadent evil, right?
Well, you've got, what, one and two, right?
Two right, correct. And then I think that there's another one like...
decadent decadence?
Depraved decadence or something like
decadence.
That. He loves that word, and for whatever reason, when they decided to distribute or whatever, Zombies versus Strippers... they changed the name to Zombie Decadence.
Is it? You think there's a joke with him and some friends where they're like, wait, what does decadence mean? And then they laughed about it, and they're like, haha, what if we jokingly say the wrong thing? So now they just fucking use it for a bunch of shit?
I suppose anything's possible.
Right, Paul, you know Charles Band, right? Get on that.
I've met him. Me and Jay have both met Charles Band.
Ugh.
Yep, actually it was the first Full Moon Horror Film Festival.
Correct. Probably the last one, too.
Yeah, I think it evolved into some kind of, like, tattoo roadshow or something.
Jesus.
I'm not kidding.
Kind of like the end of this movie. Like, I think after this movie, it was a zombie tattoo roadshow.
Yeah.
We'll post a photo down below of me and Jay hanging out with Charles Band. Actually, to tie it all together, that was when we were down there for Late Afternoon of the Living Dead was in that film festival.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It's all tied up. Let's go home.
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah. Bye. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Zombies versus Strippers, a.k.a. Zombie Decadence. I have absolutely zero, like, plot outline in front of me, so we're just going to be winging this.
Plot outline, okay.
Yeah, not much happens.
The first thing I want to say, though, is that the first stripper, well, all the strippers we see, really, are way too attractive to be working the mid-morning shift.
Mike, how do you feel about that?
I agree with him two-thirds of that.
And what would the last one-third be?
I don't want to say it.
Okay. All right.
I just think it's obviously not just that the time frame, it's the location. It's obviously they're at a tiki themed strip club, not club, bar. It's not, there's nothing club about it. It's a tiki themed strip joint that is in the middle of like a bad neighborhood in like Flint, Michigan or something. Like
no, Los Angeles.
They're in LA. They're obviously set in LA, but it's like some bad neighborhood. That it's all industrial, yeah. Nothing's around. So
like
there's
they didn't
no traffic.
Show the reverse angle, but I'm pretty sure there's like a couple empty lots around the place.
They just decked out like a soundstage, right? They had a small stage that they or a rundown bar that used to feed the actors that used to work at a defunct studio in the 50s, and they just used the exact outside of that current location as the actual outside for this tiki joint.
I wouldn't even go that far. I would say they probably just used a warehouse somewhere out in like the warehouse district.
Yeah.
Yeah, except a warehouse where the door doesn't really close.
Yeah, what the fuck?
They have some issues with that.
Those zombies got in awfully easy.
A strip club somewhere in a crappy neighborhood in Los Angeles called the Tough Titty. And it is run by a guy named Spider, who is your very sort of typical kind of like shady-looking sleazeball strip club manager / owner, right?
Well, I kind of thought of him as like a failed used car salesman, because he was like really shady, but he was pretty nice.
For old time's sake, and if you want to leave and you're pissed, I understand. I won't try to stop you, but I was just hoping that we could all settle in, kiss this place goodbye. No expense. Let's just fucking party.
You asked for it, Spider. I'm gonna drink this titty dry.
I like Spider.
Yeah, Spider, yeah. I actually thought I wouldn't mind working for Spider.
Best character in the movie, easily.
Yeah, the Spider Hambo thing is the best
thing.
Yeah,
that's a good bit.
Okay, and we will get to it. But Chris is right. He's kind of got that used car salesman look. He's almost like wearing a leisure suit or something.
He's kind of like wearing a dingy green screen jacket.
In his debut scene where he pulls up to the club and gets out of the car, did you guys notice the best car air freshener of all time?
Yeah.
Just a set of ticks.
Oh, Paul noticed those.
Paul noticed.
Those dangling plump cherries that were hanging out that rearview mirror.
Not
Paul
bad.
Jumped online and ordered a pair immediately.
More importantly, did you notice the sweet I Heart Hambo license plate?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed. And at that point, we didn't know who Hambo was, but we would soon find out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a heart is... I don't know what kind of crazy license plates you have out there in California, Paul, but I'm pretty sure a heart isn't an allowed character.
You're not an allowed character.
They have emojis in the West Coast.
Emoji license plates.
Yeah.
No, it actually is, Chris.
Oh, nice. All right. I'm moving out there. I'll see you next week.
But we're all in the same room, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
We're
all watching Paul go to the bathroom.
But, Spider's got some problems. The Tough Titty, going through some tough times, actually. Not bringing in a whole lot of money, and kind of seems like maybe he might be angling to work out a deal with somebody and sell the joint.
Well, I mean, what else would you do when you're a whopping $4,300 in debt? maybe $4,800. Might have been $4,800. Less than $5,000.
The mayor's office has issued a statement advising all citizens to remain indoors.
$5,000 in the hole. They're telling everyone to stay indoors. We're officially in the shooter, Hambo.
The weird thing about that whole bit is that, like, it really never went anywhere, like, at all.
Nothing went anywhere.
The whole idea.
Well, I don't know.
The whole idea of selling the club and it being difficult times and everything, like, it was just sort of just what happened, but none of it was necessary. Well, I don't know why I'm criticizing.
Well, they needed an excuse for Spike to come in with his $16,000 and to lure away the worst stripper.
Wait, are you talking about Spike of the hit punk band Nancy Reagan's Vagina?
Why, yes. Yes, I am, Jay.
So my band, Nancy Reagan's Vagina, just played down the street. And we're tearing this place apart. People start moshing. Shit got crazy. Dudes start biting each other. Oh, man. There was blood everywhere.
Love Spike.
Good Lord.
Just shows up out of nowhere.
Least favorite character in the whole movie.
Spike?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fucking Spike.
Yeah. We got some strippers up in the joint. I'm trying to remember what some of their names are.
And was that Gary Busey working behind the bar?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was. He probably needs the money, but I don't think it was.
Hey, while we're talking about introducing the strippers, so you've got Sugar Hill, and there's Jasmine, and there's a couple other ones. But I think Jasmine was giving a dude a private dance in her introduction scene. That guy's never seen again.
He probably left.
Hanging out in the beanbag chair and just waiting for her to come back, I guess.
Yep.
Bambi is the new one who is stripping her way through veterinarian school.
She loves animals. Oh, that's why she yells that. Okay. The plot all just came together.
Jasmine and... Well, you got Vanilla, but she doesn't come in yet.
Well, hey, I just want to say one thing about Jasmine. If you look up the actress's name in Google, the top search result is her Pornhub page.
Oh, that's not a surprise one bit. I mean, I think probably at least half of these girls are porn stars for their day job.
Is Jasmine the nippleless girl?
Well, depends on what you mean by that. There's a stripper who's sort of like the older veteran stripper.
The one who never actually gets naked.
Yeah,
that's sugar.
No, okay.
I'm thinking there's the one who's spray tanned and like the spray tanning just like the definition between the nipple and the rest of the breast is just gone because it's all the same color.
Mike, I think you had the standard definition version of the movie. The rest of us watched the HD version.
Oh, okay.
Although when she got her face ripped off, that was pretty cool.
Hey,
back it up. Save it for the podcast, Chris.
Save it for the podcast. Spider places a phone call to some sort of associate and basically makes a deal where he's going to be selling the club. But at the same time that that's happening, some weird things are going on outside of the bar. And there seems to be something amiss going on in the greater Los Angeles area, which for some reason, no one in the club is aware of for at least the first half of the movie.
Yeah, which is crazy because you'd think the only two other patrons, other than the guy who's forgotten about in the private dance club or dance room, there are these two guys watching one of the girls, I think it's Sugar, watching her dance, and one of them bites the fingers off the other one, and they're just like, get out of here, you crazy drunks.
Yeah, they're
which,
like...
Which, by the way, is this one of the only zombie movies you see where zombies actually eat each other?
They're cannibal zombies.
That's the first note I have on my thing. Zombies eat each other. Just a thing to know. Guys, are we actually going over the plot?
We're working on it, yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to go get a beer. Keep talking, though. Please keep talking.
Okay, cool. On that note, the only other zombie movie, Jay, that I can think of where zombies munch on each other is actually Late Afternoon of the Living Dead. There's a little bit of that going on in your film.
Which brings me to my next question, if I may. This is a little off the plot subject, but maybe something to think about. Maybe we can address this later. Which cinematic zombie universe does this movie best fit with? I'm just going to put that out there.
Chris, any thoughts on that?
Oh, let's see.
It might be Late Afternoon. I hate to say it.
You know, I wouldn't actually dispute that. I wouldn't dispute it.
I mean, the thing with this is there wasn't a ton of money put into this film.
No, it was like $500,000.
Right.
Oh, I thought it was like 50 grand. Is that what? No, maybe it was 500,000. I don't know. I saw a number on IMDb. There was a 5 and a very small number of zeros.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Did you guys diverge from the plot to go into the budget of this fucking thing?
Sorry.
Fucking Christ.
Also, Mike, let me give you the same question I asked these guys. What zombie cinematic universe, other films, does this movie best fit with? If you had to, like, put this movie in the same universe as another zombie movie.
Let's give Mike a second to think about it. Jay, what would your answer be?
I would say one of the, like, I wouldn't argue with Late Afternoon, honestly. I'd be just fine with that answer. Otherwise, I would say something like Dawn of the Dead.
The original?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I mean, it's kind of, the zombies don't have much of a look to them in terms of their makeup or anything like that.
Yeah. They could have used some more toilet paper and
liquid latex.
What's that crap we use?
Liquid latex. Yeah.
I think they just pulled out some passersby from the warehouse they were in, right? I mean, it was a pretty shady neighborhood. Didn't even have to deal with any costumes.
The first two guys that were biting fingers off, that was just a casting decision. That wasn't in the script.
Mike, what do you got for us?
I'd say this really, honestly, really mirrors the zombies in the porn star zombie universe.
Well, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Maybe they're all connected. I mean, maybe zombies versus strippers, porn star zombies, zombie strippers, and strippers versus zombies all exist in the same canonical zombie stripper verse, if you will.
Yeah. But you weirdly, they're all, for the most part, they're all slow zombies, right? It's that sort of thing. Except for like one or maybe two instances where there's some sort of exceptional strength or speed shown.
Yeah, they don't move much.
No, I bet you there's only the one that we'll get to where there's an exceptional amount of strength and speed that happens, but that's it. Nowhere else in the movie does that happen.
Mm-hmm. Chris, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think, would it be fair to say that from the point in the plot description we're talking about, and once all the characters are introduced up until the final battle, that this whole movie could just be summed up as in
boring.
Man forgets to lock door, new patrons arrive, followed by zombies?
Yeah, that sounds
accurate.
That's
pretty much it. Yeah.
You get Spike, the lead singer for Nancy Reagan's Vagina. Mm-hmm. And then a little later, you get this random business guy. Then you get these three biker dudes come in.
Mike Dicka.
Yes.
Mike Dicka.
Let's talk about the three biker dudes. You might say somewhat well-worn plot device when it comes to zombie movies, certainly when it comes to The Walking Dead. You know, some bikers show up and kind of try to take over a little bit. Jay, how are they sort of introduced?
Well, they just kind of show up. They walk in and they actually know what's going on and they try to tell everybody. And it really seems like there's going to be sort of like the patrons and the strippers against these bikers, but that lasts maybe 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Because then the zombies come flooding in, and then just everyone who's living fights, and then after that first zombie fight, pretty much like the bikers get really integrated into the group really fast, and they just all kind of team up. Like, there's all of the tension of who's going to lead, and, you know, if there's one group is going to take advantage of the other, that's all gone, and they're just one big group.
I'd say it's mostly gone because there's one biker who gets bitten and shot by the leader biker, played as a sweet southern gentleman.
Mike Dicka.
Mike Dicka.
Yes, I was going to bring that up, Chris. I know that you're a big fan of
Red Wings.
Red Wings, yes, that's his name.
Well, looky here, boys. The goddamn rapture transpiring outside, and we find ourselves smack dab in the middle of a tiki-themed titty bar.
But I don't think things are as happy as Jay describes. Because, yeah, everyone, they're kind of integrated into the group, but then not long after, the business guy decides he's going to make a run for it, and he's joined by the other surviving biker who has, what are those called, Jay?
Is it laryngectomy?
The tracheotomy?
It's got one of those electric voice boxes. It talks like this, and it's amazing.
He's got a post-it note stuck to his fucking throat, and that's all it is. Like, it's not a hole or anything. It's the worst makeup I've ever seen.
Coupled with one of the best lines I've ever heard.
I want the suit. I see what you did to Goon Red Wings, and I can't hang with a man what kills his own road dog.
This guy, it's not all peaceful like Jay described, because this other biker refuses to hang with a man what kills his own road dog.
That is true, he does say that.
I believe, Chris, you're talking about Goon. Goon has a problem with Red Wings.
No, Goon died first. Goon's the one who died.
Oh, is it Rudy? It's Rudy.
Rudy. Yeah, Rudy. Yeah, Rudy.
Rudy has the box.
You know, who knows how box. Who knows how many years they've been riding the roads together, smuggling crank, beating up people in bars, you know, dancing with Pee-wee Herman. And then you shoot your road dog, and Rudy, he's done. That's it.
He's going to go off with the stockbroker.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dude.
He's obviously an idiot because he doesn't understand what's happening. Like, it does make sense to shoot him. Duh. And so he wants to go out with the stockbroker and dies instantly. And
Instantly.
Like, yeah. Now, can I pose you guys a question?
Please.
About these bikers?
Yeah.
What would Lorenzo do?
Oh, my God. Okay. This is a little bit of a throwback. Mike and I did a television show that was also called B-Movie Mania, a movie review show. And one of our segments was called What Would Lorenzo Do?, where in any given scenario, we try to figure out how Lorenzo Lamas, star of such films as Snake Eater and Snake Eater 2, would handle any given situation.
I have an answer. I think he would see what's going on there and quickly decide, I'm just going to get on one of these bikes from the bikers, and he would just leave.
Yeah.
See, I like to think he'd do the same thing, except then he'd team up with the California Highway Patrol and start busting some heads.
Well, Mike, I'm going to guess that you have an answer put together.
Nope.
Come on!
All right, now, here's what Lorenzo would do. Lorenzo would break through into the ventilation. When things started getting shitty, he'd bust into the ventilation shafts up in the ceiling. He'd crawl through it, pull himself through those shafts, get up to the roof, where he can spot and see those bicycles, or motorcycle bicycles.
Bicycles.
And then he would shimmy down the drain spout, grab one of those, get one of those bikes, rev it up real good, just a real. And then he would smash through that chain link gate that is the front door to the fucking Tough Titty, and just.
He wouldn't need to smash through it; it's unlocked.
He would anyway, because it'd be cool. And then he would just pull and do like a cool like a circular skid mark in the middle of that thing, and just kick the shit out of a bunch of zombies with his motorcycle. With it, with the tassels on his jacket flapping in the wind the whole time.
Thank you very much. I was just about to say, at what point are his tassels going to be fluttering in the wind?
The whole time.
Very nice. That was What Would Lorenzo Do?
Then can we talk about Hambo?
Yeah, I just want to say...
Let's get to Hambo.
We do find out what Hambo would do.
Yep.
And it's the saddest moment in the movie.
Chris, if you would be so kind, please explain who Hambo is, because Mike watched the wrong movie, so we need to fill him in.
All right, well, in Trump's America, Hambo is the star of a popular alt-right children's television show, where he's bringing racism back, and he's executing anyone who believes differently.
Spider, the owner of the Tough Titty, is just borderline obsessed with Hambo.
Borderline. He's got a Hambo statue. He's got a Hambo license plate. He lives his life according to what Hambo would do.
He gets in an argument with Sugar, doesn't he, at one point, about Hambo?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hambo is an American icon. 30 years on the tube, and that man is at the top of his game. He's a perfect blend of morality, pathos, and slapstick. This man is the Buster Keaton of our generation. He is underappreciated. He's always putting his foot down for the little guy, but... can't expect narrow minds like you to appreciate the genius that is Hambo.
He's talking about how many good morals this guy has and all this other stuff. And Spider seems like he kind of has a decent, like, sense of morality. He seems nice. He's ashamed and worried about his staff, whether he has to close it, and he feels bad. But then Hambo's up on this screen talking about, like, capital punishment and, like, killing the awful... Like, it's just...
Hey, if your skin color's different, execute.
Ugh, man.
He's upset about the the bar probably closing, and so he retreats into his office, flicks on the TV, and this is, I guess, just, you know, what he kind of does in his spare time.
It's like a channel, like, there's like a channel, Hambo, 24 hours a day, because it's always on. Whenever he flips the channel, there's Hambo, ready
to give
advice.
Got, like, did you mention this, Chris? He's got, like, an action figure of him?
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was, like, a statue or, like, a collectible of some sort.
Well, it is, because, listen, yeah. I know how Charles Band operates. I guarantee you that shit is for sale on fullmoon.com. Which, and I'm sure no one has bought it, because it looks like, it looks stupid. So yeah, he's super into Hambo. Sugar, for whatever reason, is super into making fun of him.
Holy shit, Wet Paul.
Yeah.
It is for sale.
Yeah, I was just looking it up too.
There you go.
Hambo with a ranch hand.
You gonna get one?
Oh, it's so bad looking. It says racist collectibles beware. Wait, also,
that's Charles Band
wait,
for you.
Wait. On the box, it says, from the hit film Ooga Booga.
What? Oh, God, is he from a different movie and it's like a crossover?
Fuck,
oh,
that's about to find out. Also, if that's the case, Jay, we know what your choice is. It's Ooga Booga, okay?
Oh,
Hambo the Ranch Hand.
Are you looking it up, Mike?
Yeah, 100% looking this up.
I mean, I can tell by looking at your computer screen.
Oh, no.
We're in the same room.
Oh, no. What is this? No. Okay. Oh, no. This can't be real.
Wow.
Jay, did you find it? It's Paul. I don't know. Can you see this really terrible looking thing?
Yeah. Beyond Django.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Oh, no. Oh,
there's Butt Pirate.
No.
Butt Pirate the doll. This is terrible.
Karen Black's in it. Isn't that another porn star?
No, I think she's like a horror scream queen.
Well, I don't know. With the movie tagline, like, he's 9 inches with an attitude.
God.
Yeah, you tell me, Paul.
We are way off topic here.
Yeah,
I don't give
topic.
A shit. If there's a small doll involved, it's a Charles Band movie.
Yeah.
All right, so everyone dies in this movie, right? I mean,
yep.
That's what Hambo's there for. What would Hambo do? He would eat spider.
Yeah, well, that was kind of surprising, because I thought spider might make it through the movie, but nope.
Oh, yeah.
Hambo, as a zombie, breaks in and breaks down the office door to Spider's office and just squashes
him. Yeah, like that must be one heavy door, because, like, Spider is just liquefied.
I don't understand why Hambo showed up. Like, what are the fucking odds that in the middle of the apocalypse, in all of Los Angeles, or wherever he was, Paul, he would break in and smash his biggest fan?
Let me tell you, Paul, because look at Hambo. I mean, he can't really afford much in the ways of a set. So he is being filmed. His show is filmed in a warehouse right next door to the Tough Titty.
Mm.
That's got to be it.
I suppose that could make
some
sense.
That's got to be it.
Also, Paul, you're questioning the reality of this film, and I'm calling a drink on that.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of that.
I mean, Paul, a little later, Sugar starts shooting darts with, like, a panty slingshot.
God damn it.
So,
God,
I mean, if you're questioning
it.
The reality.
Thong darts.
This movie. Like,
yeah.
Why
don't forget
you...
the Michael Jackson zombie.
No.
God. Chris, that brings up a good point where you're talking about the thong darts.
Yeah.
Thong darts.
One thing I liked how Vanilla, the stripper who shows up later, I like how she, like, taped one of her high heels to a piece of wood.
That was pretty good.
And that was her weapon.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
That was fine. That made some amount of sense. Instead of
a little extra reach.
You know those things you throw that are, you know, darts that you use your hands to just throw them? Why not complicate it with an elastic that isn't very good?
Zombies have invaded, and, you know, we got all our characters sort of being killed at various points in the movie. The bouncer, by the way, who was sort of the first to... I think the first to get bit out of the main characters, he's sort of been slogging through the movie. He's one of those characters who gets bit but holds on for a very long time. And he has kind of an interesting death scene with one of Mike's favorite characters in the film.
Nipless McGee? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this in the eruption room?
God damn it, I wanted to talk about it. God damn it, I was going to bring up the eruption room.
Mike, I think I know what you're going to say.
No, Paul, just let me say it.
Is it the eruption room?
God damn it! Wait, wait, wait.
Well, let's give Mike a chance to say Mike is the only person who hasn't had a chance to say the eruption room yet.
Fuck you. You just said it.
Well, since Mike hasn't said the eruption room, Mike, go ahead.
Mike, do you have an eruption room?
God damn it! This is more like an interruption room going on here.
Oh, to the eruption room, ladies. We have all the time in the world.
Hey, while we're on the subject of that bouncer, though, I think he's the first actor to be a B-movie maniac double dip.
What do you mean?
Well, according to IMDb, the actor, Nihilus Jello, I don't know. Is it a hard G, soft G? I don't know.
Nihilus Jello.
It sounds delicious.
But according to IMDb, just a year or two before this movie was made, he played the run-over cowboy in Big Money Rustlers.
Oh, God.
Awesome.
You know what? Not surprised at all.
No.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. That was the last movie. Holy shit.
Dark-ass Nugs, do you know him?
Demon to Seaman, I do.
Do you think that he got ran over before or after he went to the eruption room in Big Money Rustlers? I said something about Hambo earlier, and I like the relationship with that and Spider and all that garbage. I think I take it back. My favorite thing is the eruption room.
Yeah.
Just the name and the concept of the eruption room.
Yeah.
Well, we might as well go around the room, and let me ask everybody what their favorite single thing was in Zombie Decadence. Chris?
Well, let's see. I've mentioned, okay, I love Red Wings with the Southern Gentleman. But I really have to say the thing I enjoyed most about this movie was how it really had a message. I mean, there was, like, a really good... You might almost call it a throwaway line. It's easy to miss the message. I think it was Spike who said it, but he just had some really great advice. Don't date girls with open lesions.
Yes, good piece of advice there. Michael.
Also the Michael Jackson zombie.
I really like, there was this weird thing that happened throughout the movie where apparently everyone's erections are tied to the style of music playing. The character we skipped over. No, check this out. I got a whole like map drawn. So we never, at no point did we mention the most forgettable character, which was the stoner kid. So, cause who gives a shit about the stoner DJ,
oh, God.
But he was there. He was annoying and dumb, but he kept playing whatever music that someone didn't like. But like the beginning of the movie has a dancer on the stage. She's showing some skin and some boobs and stuff and doing some dances and Spider's looking, and she's obviously dancing and, you know, doing a perfectly fine job, but he's convinced that is the music that is making these zombies not excited. And so they keep like he keeps yelling at the DJ to change the music because these guys aren't getting aroused enough. And then at some point later in the movie, they reference the fact that the style of music is not appropriate for like the boners. Like that's right. He fucking plays, they play the guy, the grandma's vagina's band or whatever the fucking is. And they play his single, and during that song, someone's like, "Man, I'm fucking erect!" Like, just totally because of the song. And it's just some weird reality that I really kind of liked. Paul, how about you? What was your favorite?
God. I don't know if I've let on yet how much I did not care for this movie, but, so I don't really know what to say other than, I guess, Red Wings. I thought that he had, you know, kind of an interesting, sweet Southern thing going on. I enjoyed his constituency.
Gentleman.
And that's about it, really. So I got to go with Chris on that one. Probably Red Wings.
Didn't his backstory just make you fucking cringe, though?
Why? You mean why he was called Red Wings?
Yeah. Like, fucking,
well,
give
you know.
Me a goddamn break. I don't even want to explain it on this podcast. It's that fucking offensive.
Yeah, I don't remember, but I don't care.
That's another part of the message, Mike. He's a feminist. This movie has a feminist undertone to it. And, you know, if you want to do that, it shouldn't be a big deal. That's his message.
That is, That is not the problem. The problem is the fact that that was written as a fucking joke, is what it was.
Well, I mean, a lot of things in this movie were written as jokes, and it didn't quite pan out.
You talk about the whole movie, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And basically, we kind of get down to the end here. And Chris, who are we left with?
We've got I forgot their names. There was the one who ended up just as the nun, and then there was the sassy black stripper.
It's right. Vanilla and Bambi.
Oh, yeah, Vanilla and Bambi. So and Bambi during the last big fight was I didn't quite get this. Was she bitten by a zombie with dentures?
Yep, that is what happened.
So the ending's a little ambiguous, as she and Vanilla both ride off topless into the sunset on Red Wing's motorcycle. We get a close-up of Bambi's butt, which the camera is not getting away from, let me tell you. But it's just the
wound.
You
know what? Wait. One thing. Okay, I think that's a little out of order, because they get on the bike, and then they show the shot of the butt.
Yeah.
But I don't think you ever actually see them drive away on the motorcycle, because I don't think they let them, those actresses, drive the motorcycle.
Oh, correct. See, that, great. Jay, thanks for shattering the illusion of film magic.
Sorry.
I swore they rode off into the sunset.
No, they didn't. They sat in the parking lot.
To say that it ended abruptly would be an understatement. It was just peace out. We're gone.
Hold on.
But all of us, I guarantee, had the same reaction of, it's going to cut to black. It's cutting to black. I'm so, yes. And it did it, and I fucking got a huge boner again.
Rating time.
I don't know, guys. You know, this was, in my opinion, this was pretty rough to get through. So I got to ask you, you know, 1 out of 100 Nancy Reagan vaginas, what do you give Zombie Decadence? Let me go with Michael Hayes, who just recently finished watching the film.
On the spot right away.
Yep.
It wasn't terribly offensive, but it just was so not interesting.
Yeah, which is really, in my opinion, kind of the worst offense.
Yeah. Out of 100 Nancy Reagan's vaginas, I don't know, 30.
Yeah. Chris?
You know, I'm gonna go the opposite end of the spectrum. I actually kind of enjoyed the movie.
Did you watch Zombies versus Strippers, or did you watch Zombie Strippers, or are you sure you watched the right one?
I watched them all. No, I thought Spider was a pretty likable guy. I thought Red Wings was a great character. I wouldn't mind seeing him pop up in other movies.
Hmm.
I mean,
Red Wings spinoff.
Yeah, I mean, if Hambo's from something else, maybe we can do a Red Wing spinoff.
Let's all tweet at Charles Band.
More Hambo. No, I mean, it wasn't a great movie. I wouldn't consider this a classic at all, by any means, but it was... I just thought there were some good jokes, and when the one stripper got her face, like, ripped completely off by the bouncer guy, I mean, that was kind of fun.
Well, it sounds like we might have more Nancy Reagan vaginas on the way than expected.
It's not going to balance out Mike's score. I'd give it probably... 67 Nancy Reagan vaginas?
67, okay.
67,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jay?
You know, one thing that really struck me about the movie was that, you know, they had $500,000, and I kind of wanted some better zombie effects. Like,
yeah, I think most of us spent on booze behind the bar, though.
Probably. So, I mean, I was really let down by the lack of zombie effects. It just felt like a bunch of people attacking other people most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, like, I just found myself about halfway through the movie going, what is even happening? Like, there's really nothing. It takes so long to get going.
Right.
So I think the pacing was off. So I'm going to have to give it 25 Nancy Reagan's vaginas.
Yeah. I think I have to agree with you. You know, what's really kind of frustrating to me is that Full Moon did this movie. And, you know, they've put out some crappy stuff, no doubt about it. But they, if you go back, they actually used to do some really amazing stuff, you know. If you go back to the 80s and some of the stuff that they did in the 90s.
Puppet Master.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, they have some really fun movies. It wasn't shot very well. It didn't, you know, it was colorful and it was in focus. I'll give it that. But
thanks, movie.
Yeah, it was just boring. I'm going to go 29 out of 100 Nancy Reagan vaginas. Sorry, Nancy.
Wow, so I'm the boner of the scores here.
Yeah, apparently.
You are rising high above.
Chris, I think you had a little, you know, you had some granddad going and you were just feeling it a little bit more.
A big part of it. And I went in with really low expectations.
Yeah, well, that probably helps as well.
Red Wings. Let's give him a 5-picture deal.
I'm very much looking forward to the spinoff, even though I think didn't George Lucas do a movie called Red Wings? Was that about him?
Oh, yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think
no,
it
that's
was.
A hockey team. That's a hockey oh. team.
Jason Hulls.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
I have been excited to tell you guys what I'm picking.
This better not work. Please don't make this hurt.
Oh, it's different than anything we've ever watched. And I swear to you, I promise all of you, that I have had this in my mind since I picked Samurai Cop 2.
Okay.
An evil scientist implants the brain of Michael, a murdered high school student, into a Tyrannosaurus. He escapes, wreaks vengeance on his high school tormentors, and is reunited with his sweetheart, Tammy.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're going to watch Tammy and the T-Rex.
Oh, shit!
Starring Denise Richards and Paul Walker.
Oh,
it's on YouTube. That's the only place I've been able to find it so far.
But it is all
we're going to
have
to watch it on YouTube.
It looks so good.
It looks so good.
Well, I think we'll sign off on this episode by Chris making Tyrannosaurus noises.
Oh, wait, that's Gun Bear. Sorry.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They're touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Good night, everybody.